Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Say Things, episode 159. Suns fan here with Sindarin, but this time I'm introducing it because Shannon is in Texas for the Arlington Major, and I'm at home, and this time I am the one recording. So hopefully everything works just fine. Shannon, hello, hello.
Ball sack.
Very good. All right, so it's working. That's all you need to know. Speaking of ball sack, Shannon, this episode is sponsored by... Who's it sponsored by? What do you think?
Manscaped. Mm. If you haven't heard already, it's smooth sack summer. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you're scaped from pubes to bum. That's right, this is the summer to keep your balls cool while still looking hot with Manscaped. The leader in below-the-belt grooming is making sure we all have a ball this summer by giving our pants partners everything they need to stay fresh. Dive headfirst into smooth sack summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with our code WESAYTHINGS. My wife is in the corner of the hotel room right now. She's giving me the thumbs up. She loves... See, what can I say here? She loves Manscaped. Let's just say that,
very
gentlemen.
Good.
Okay?
Yeah. Don't we all?
Indeed. They have a lot of great products, Sindarin.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which that you have in your home as well. Which is your favorite?
Oof. The nose hair trimmer.
Don't use that on your balls. That might hurt. if you go to manscaped.com, you can type in the We Say Things promo code for 20% off and free shipping, Sindarin.
Just as a quick heads up here for everybody, both on video and audio, Shannon is out of hotel Wi-Fi, and there might be a little bit of audio hiccups. I hope it's still going to be
fine. How bad was it?
Only a little bit. It's like a very tight, very tiny spikes once in a while, but... You're very understandable, so I think we'll be okay.
You know what else has tiny spikes? My pubes on my ball sack, thanks to manscaped.com. Mm. All right.
Very good. All right, let's move on to the in-bruce tier patrons.
You know, it's so weird not being able to see you for the first time. This will be literally the first time I won't see your
reactions. Oh, that's true. You can't see me right now during the episode. Oh, I should take advantage of that. I can just make weird faces and shit when you say stuff and just go like blah, blah, blah with my hands. I like that.
Yeah. Well, don't do that. That didn't go over so well at the Riyadh tournament.
No, but it was an internal joke, so it was fine. Everybody got it on camera. Okay. In Bruges tier, special thanks to Joey. Mr. Cakes, we'll see you in Arlington. Look for the tangos. Stop me from spending money on OnlyFans so I can keep supporting you. All right, just don't do that. I mean, keep supporting us, but don't do that. Obi-Wan can blow me. The British Dota scene sucks more than this name. Sharing a birthday with another person is just stats, not even taking into account more likely birthdays. This is not an ad. I cover my ears during scary moments too. Oscar Seeker, The Meals, Roundy3, GFFA thinks that the silver bullet for the matchmaker issues that Jeff Hill described is, wait for it, way more active players. Disco FarmD. All right, my turn to get this one, Shannon. Stoogie, Stooge, Stooge. I'm looking you dead in the eye and telling you I want it bad. Hashtag not all Cinderman. Hakuna Matata laughs because it gets to 48 degrees Celsius here. That sounds horrible. Commander Donut, Milan, Miami, the Mega Pope, the Round Mound of Rebound, and then you do the second half, the honors.
Sajidine sits, smiling, sensing superstardom struck sometime somewhere. Sincerely stupid, major in Dallas, TI New Zealand. Thank you. Zanzavier, Nate Thicko 01 Hamscroats, Bacon, Shark TM, freshly seasoned goat balls, Janie, Dop, nothing to see here. Underscore man, Guitar Strings recommends importing Flux from Han. Ugh, J-Sweet, Eve, Remort, can we get Seb on the podcast? Ben Broomhead just wants a faceless Arcana. Is that so much to ask? Also, maybe some map changes wouldn't hurt. Pitch Black, Wooden Aftertaste, Anonymous, and Peter, all polar bears are left-handed Niebling.
Hmm.
Interesting. That is very interesting, actually. Thank you. Thank you, friends.
So does that mean that once upon a time, every creature was left-handed, and humans were the ones who deviate by being right-handed most of the time? Something to think about.
That's right. Very important statistics there. So like you said, I'm in Texas. It's hot as balls here. It's the humidity
it's
that's getting me right
now. It's also humid here. I'm sweating in my room. It's something.
Well, you know what fixes that, which I have on right now? It's called air conditioning. Oh. It's very useful, some would say.
I thought it was going to be
terrible
from
for
Manscaped.
The environment. We could have gone that route, but that segment's already over.
Okay.
I do have a Suns fan recommends.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I have to prep this because the instant I say what it's about 50% of the people listening will just disregard it, okay?
Okay.
Do you remember that I recommended a TV show called American Vandal?
Yes.
Does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
So that was like a mockumentary, mm-hmm. right? Where the first season was about some guy drawing penises on school property, and they was trying to figure out who was doing it. And the second one was somebody put like spiked the food, and everybody just shat themselves in the school cafeteria, right?
Okay.
So the premises are really stupid.
Yeah.
But the show was unbelievably well done. Like S-tier editing, like extremely high quality. Okay. So those guys made another show. It's on Paramount Plus, and it's called The Players. Have you heard of this show, Sindarin?
The Players? No.
The Player.
Paramount
What do you think
Plus.
It's about? Yeah, that's the only unfortunate thing. What do you think it's about?
Basketball.
It's about League of Legends.
Oh, actually, I think I've heard of this now that you say
it. It takes, like, obviously, it's a mockumentary, so it's not real.
Uh-huh.
It creates like this fantasy world. I couldn't say fantasy world, but there's like this team. They're called the Fugitives, I think it was called.
Okay.
And it follows like this individual player and the whole team. Like living in a team house.
Yeah.
It is S fucking tier. It is so well done. It is so realistic. And they have like a lot of, like everything is on point. Like these things do happen all the time. They have like all these other teams that are involved. I don't know how they, like even like a League of Legends casters were involved in some capacity, like, you know, talking about this fake team.
And then they have a cameo from Ninja.
No, not Ninja. Oh.
So
that's
it's
why
an
I'm
actual
saying it
media
actually,
production about video games that doesn't have Ninja in it. That's pretty impressive. I'm
right.
proud of them. That's good job.
It is so fucking good. And some of the storylines, like I'm not going to give anything away here, but some of the storylines with the team that they're following are definitely from Dota. Like definitely. Like an example, and this one maybe you could probably stretch to being probably League as well, but the one that really resonated with me is like, so they have like this old school player
mm-hmm.
Who's kind of hard to work with, and they're bringing in a new blood guy, and the guy just reminds me of Sumail in a lot of ways. Like very cocky. It's like 17-year-old coming on the scene, huge success. And then a lot of stuff that happens, like obviously I've never played League of Legends really, but a lot of stuff in game, like you can tell, like I don't know, I don't know how exciting League games are, but I was on the edge of my seat, and a lot of the moments, especially
okay, that's
one,
why it's fiction.
Give it away.
That's when you know it's fiction. Is that you were on the edge of your seat about a League game.
But some
League
of the moments
itself,
in the
you
game...
You are actually... You're not at the edge of your seat when you're watching League. You're edging. Basically, you're like constantly
like
waiting for something to happen.
That's
so,
soccer.
Yes.
People love soccer,
that
though.
Is also why I don't find that sport particularly interesting to watch.
Anyway, some moments in the game were definitely taken from Dota.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I'm telling you, the production, the editing... Everything, the acting, holy shit, it's so good. It is so good. And it's to the point where it's depressing because similar to Arcane, it's like, man, I wish they did this for Dota.
Oh.
But obviously Dota doesn't
but they
have
didn't
the reach
do this
that
for
League
Riot.
Does.
This is just the game they chose
well,
for the monkey.
I guarantee you that they had to have talked to Riot because they were like in LCS, like Mm-hmm. They had all the production available to them. So
right, but it's not a Riot production. Like, they just got permission.
No. Yeah, okay. Correct, yeah. As far as I know. But I would highly recommend you guys watch. Unfortunately, I would say as highly as Arcane. That's how highly I think of this show. It is S tier.
I'm gonna get Paramount Plus any second now, so I can watch
this. Yeah, I mean, there's not to encourage this kind of behavior, but there's other ways to find stuff.
Mm.
You know,
ask someone who has Paramount Plus.
That's right, Sindarin.
There you go.
Not many. All right. First topic of today is apparently a DPC format for next year has been quote unquote leaked.
Yeah, I don't think this is a leak. Really?
It was leaked, and then I think Dota 2 came out with the actual shit. Is that right?
You might be right that it was leaked before the link got posted, but it's within the same few hours that the news came out and there is the official form.
We're part of a podcast. We have to say, when we have the opportunity to say something is leaked, it's breaking leaked. News.
It's an amazing leak. It's a leak of legends. It's the one.
Boy, I got to take a leak as hard of a leak as this leak is going to be right
leak
here.
Leak of legends.
the winter tour, open, I mean, who cares about that stuff? Div 1 is January 9th to 29th. So it's only 20 days. That's 3 weeks essentially.
Yep.
Which is what we were hoping for, a condensed version. And then the interesting thing is Div 2 is not at the same time. It is right after, so January 30th to February 19th.
Back to back.
So basically, it is still 6 weeks, but half of it is Div 2, which, like, the first thing I thought of is that gives opportunity for third-party tournaments, which sucks for Tier 2 players. But that's when you're going to be wanting to run third-party tournaments is during the Div 2 general area. Well, actually, let's look at the rest of the dates, because the major is 5 days after Div 2, so February 24th to March 5th, and then the next season officially starts on March 13th. So there's, like, no room other than Div 2 to run a third-party tournament.
So you come back from the major as a team, and then 1 week later, Division 1 starts. So it's very, very short time in between that. So the first things I was thinking when I saw this was, first of all, good that we don't have like this 6 week period where everything is just alternating, because I don't think that's particularly good. The big upside to this, like you said, is that when Division 1 isn't playing their regional league, they can be online or LAN tournaments for them, third party tournaments. But I think that also applies to the Division 2 teams, where when they're not playing Division 2, they could still play other online tournaments that could run side by side, or in the case of I mean, at the end of the day here, I think the biggest thing that the fans want is more tournaments, right? Where the big teams can play. And the only real downside I see here is if you're a Tier 2 team or Division 2 team that qualifies for a premier tournament, what do you do with your Division 2 games? That's the puzzle I see here, because let's say you start hosting third-party tournaments when Division 1 is over, while Division 2 is going, and then there's two of the teams there that have qualified somehow, then Will they attend that LAN and then miss a regional league game that they just forfeit? Or will there be some sort of, you know, grace where you can reschedule things, move them around a little bit, try to solve that? Or is it just stable playing times? You're not there, you lose. That's my biggest concern. Because aside from that, I think this is just a clear improvement. The way it's been this year, we've essentially had, like, the majority of the year has just been locked out, where you couldn't run a third-party tournament because you know that the Division 1 teams have to play every week for 6 weeks straight, and then they're preparing for the major, so you barely have anything else than the majors. Like this, there will be that time span, so that's good. The other thing about this is that it gets condensed a bit more, so the last major ends in July, actually. The last major ends July 9th, which could mean that TI is coming back to maybe August or maybe September, and they're trying to move it forward. And I think that's a big improvement, because I think something that is the downside of running TI when we do currently in October is that in the winter, there's higher risk of sickness, which we've been hit by, right? We've had COVID problems. There's more, like, risk of people getting other sicknesses at the wrong time and not being able to perform, etc. So I think that was one of the strengths of having TI in August, is that our track record with that tournament had very, very little sickness, right? Compared to how many players there are. After got moved, there's been more problems. So
unless you're G.
Unless you're
sick every year.
Yeah. So yeah, I think all in all for me, this is a clear improvement. The only question mark is what happens to the Div 2 teams. You could also look at it from the other perspective, right? Okay, now they get a designated slot where they're not competing with Div 1, right? Which could lead to more eyeballs. It could also lead to less, because maybe people don't stay and watch because they were just watching Div 1 and now Div 2 comes on and you're already watching. Maybe you just don't tune
in. I think overall this system is way better than the current one. Yeah, so
I agree.
Let's just say that right now. This is an improvement no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, I agree.
I do think Div 2 is going to get even less viewers because of the piggybacking that is currently happening. I mean, that's exactly why a lot of these Div 2 teams are getting decent viewership, is because people just leave their streams on from the Div 1 matches. That won't be the case. So this will be dedicated.
We just need the right teams to get relegated every time from Div 1. Then people will watch their games.
True.
Nygma had a really good viewership in Div 2, right? For example.
So. Yeah, well, Alliance is back in Div 2.
Yeah,
we'll see how their viewership is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the big story is the condensed matches, along with third-party tournaments having an open window now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a giant window. It's 3 weeks, which is like max 2 tournaments probably. And you'd have to work around other, like, I don't know how, because that's the other thing. Before, when third-party tournaments did tournaments, maybe, I'm trying to think how it was before. It was just kind of first come, first serve, and if you ended up getting a slot, you got a slot, but it's not like an official slot necessarily, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's kind of back to the old school ways of doing it.
They're probably going to be fighting over the time slots among, and then inviting the teams with the best conditions they can offer, right? So that the teams choose their tournament.
So the one in January, nobody's going to want, because that's quarter one. But spring and summer, those are going to be hot commodities for third-party tournaments. So, yeah, I think this is... I'd have to think about this more, because obviously I just saw this like not long before we went live. But I'm sure we can nitpick. But overall, this is... it's good.
I think it's the right direction, at least. And yeah, we're going to see, like you said, it's 3 weeks every season, right? So for the winter season, there's going to be 3 weeks. For the spring, there's going to be 3 weeks. And for summer, there's going to be 3 weeks. So that's multiple slots across the year that third parties can run something. I would expect organizers like ESL probably to want to run 2 tournaments in these time frames, right? And maybe also one after the major even, which is also what's happening this year, right? With the Malaysia tournament that's coming up after the Arlington major. So perhaps we can have like 3 majors and let's say 3 other A plus or S tier competitions with like 500,000 prize pool on all the biggest teams. Maybe that's too optimistic, but I'm hopeful that we can have like at least 6 good lands a year plus TI like this.
You brought up a good point about post major. I was looking at the dates and I just discounted the fact that the season starts so soon after, but there is a time frame where there's open and closed qualies, which third-party tournaments shouldn't give a shit about, right? So that does give a little extra time for some more. So that's, I'm excited, man. Third-party tournaments, I think, were the lifeblood in a lot of ways for so many years, and people miss them, you know? Because they don't have to adhere to any quote-unquote regulations, if you want to call them that. Do whatever the fuck you want. Like, as long as you can get the teams to show up, then people will watch. So...
do whatever you want, invite whatever teams you want, and get absolutely trashed for it on social media. That's who. Let's go. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's good stuff. All right, so some team news. Team Secret has announced that Ice 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 is out. They tweeted, "It's a tough decision to make, but today we say goodbye to Ice Ice Ice. Thank you for your time with the squad. We wish you the best in the future. Farewell, Ice." And that was followed up by another tweet, "Stand in no more. The best offlane duo is finally back together. Welcome to the squad, Resolution." So a lot of people kind of saw this coming because Rezo did such a good job and Secret looks so good at the Riyadh, I keep wanting to say Riyadh Major, maybe in the future, the Riyadh tournament.
Yeah.
So unfortunate that Ice 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 kind of gets left to his own devices in some fashion. Like, he's only lasted a year on EG and now not even a full year on Secret.
I think,
do you think it was just him meshing with the team, or do you think that his, is he past his prime? It's a tough question.
I mean, I don't necessarily like the term past one's prime, right? Because it kind of, it implies that you can't get it back in a way, right? When you're past your prime, then you had your glory days and now you're washed up, right? And I think a player like Ice, this is not his strongest performance. I think I will put it that way. But he's the kind of player that I think can still shine. But in this team, I think it didn't really work out. And I think he was kind of dealt an unfortunate hand as well. I think with the Absol, he was working pretty well. And then they get in Zayas, and I think their synergy wasn't that good. So by comparison, you put the guy that Zayas loves playing with in the offlane and as a stand-in, he makes Zayas look better, and he looks better himself because they have great dynamic. And, you know, it might also be that Resolution is playing better than Ice right now, but I definitely think Ice's, like, if you will, prime was a couple of years ago. Like, he played absolutely outstanding in basically every game and had this crazy hero pool. I think others have caught up, and if he wants to get back to the top, he needs to, you know, find that synergy with someone else and keep grinding it out. I still think he has the... he has the right mindset to play at the absolute elite level, because I think he plays very, what's the word when you're focusing more on ruining the opponent's game than bolstering your own?
Your life?
Oppressive?
Sure.
My life, yes. He plays a very oppressive style, and I think that's really powerful at the highest level, because it's a lot about executing strategy for the enemy team, and if you can, you know, break their timings, mess them up in lanes, play weird picks. That's the kind of stuff that can win you series. So I still think this guy has things going for him, but as always is the case with Dota, time is finite, and if you don't start showing really good form with your next team or maybe the one after that, it might just almost be too late to get your stock back up. Dota is a lot about what other pro players think about you. That matters more than anything else, because that's what, you know, gives you your opportunities to get on the big stage. So, but yeah, yeah. Resolution's been looking good. He's an easy guy to cheer for. You know, I know you love the guy from working with him in the past, so I'd imagine you're happy with this.
He's very, well, obviously, I like Ice, but if they had to kick him for somebody, Rezo would be my choice as well. Yeah. He's very easy to get along with, and he's almost he's a hard worker to a fault, I think, because on DC, I've talked about this before, but the main issue with him, and I've talked to him about this, is sometimes, like, he puts a higher, what's the right way to put it, he puts more expectations on his teammates because of how much he works, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's being, like, slightly lazy, he's gonna basically almost take offense to that, you know, because, right, like, I'm working hard, you should be working hard as well. Mm-hmm. But I think he's grown a lot since that point, because some people can't work as hard as him.
Yeah.
It's like some people just mentally can't handle it, which is fine. Like, they don't, I think everybody has their own system, you know, in the way that they try to min-max their potential. But yeah, this should be interesting. Obviously, they have to go through the TI quals, or whatever the hell it's called this year. So, and then the Ice situation, he's going to have to find a new team if he wants to keep playing. And that segues to our next section, which is Thompson has officially, at least for the time being, left OG. OG tweeted this: OG has granted to Pius the right to explore his options for this TI, as he has expressed the wish to compete again. Hope to see you in Singapore, Thompson. So Thompson has been streaming a lot.
Yep.
I have to say, usually when I'll be honest about something. Usually when I'm watching a pro streamer, I'm like, what? They're just good at the game. That's all they do. Mm-hmm. They have no entertainment value. They're just whatever. They're blah. But people watch them because they're fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson, he has I wouldn't say a crazy personality. He has a good personality, I think. Extremely good at the game, and he picks weird ass shit. So his stream is actually, like, really good. Right. Mm-hmm. So this one, like, I can
it's
totally
creative.
Understand.
I think that's the number one word for me. He's always been a creative player. Yeah. He just loves exploring, coming up with weird builds, playing weird heroes, and you know, sometimes it sticks, sometimes he hits the bullseye with an idea he has and it wins his team a tournament or gets them really far or wins them a key game.
Gyro defusal,
for example, is just a feeling, you know. If you have that intuition at some point about the game and you have that creativity, it's both good and bad. I think some games, Topson has also gone for builds that I thought were weak, that I thought almost lost them the game, or maybe even lost them. But, you know, it's very entertaining, no matter how you look at it, both in Pro Dota and in pubs, to have a player like that to watch. So, yeah, good luck to him. I can't say I'm too surprised. I think it's not been a secret that Topson wants to compete, and OG as a team right now obviously doesn't have room for him. So, and they're very successful in their own right currently with their players. So he needs to look elsewhere, or he needs to convince all of his ex-teammates to come back and play at TI, which they could, you know, maybe qualify for if they tried.
Well, at this rate, Seb is going to continue to substitute for OG, right?
Dude, I feel bad for Misha. He's probably the player I feel the worst for in Dota right now. I'm trying to put myself in his position. Like,
yeah, that's bad.
We'll get to that later. I'll just quickly preface it with, this is the second major in a row that Misha misses because of visa. And he's qualified for both with the team, and then he ends up coaching from home. That's got to suck. Like, you're obviously happy your team is winning, and I'm sure you're getting your prize, your fair share of the prize money and everything, and, you know, it's your teammates, but you want to be there. It's a huge part of it. It's the experience itself, not just the prize. So,
yep.
Sucks for him.
But Topson, we'll see if he joins a team that's already established, or if he makes his own kind of ragtag, like old Digital Chaos run, where, I mean, Ice is available. That's definitely a big name. Like you said, former team, like Anna, he's going to be subbing in for, we'll talk about that, but he'll be subbing in this major. Wait, is that true? Did I just make that up?
Anna's playing for RNG instead of Ghost.
Yeah. So he's technically available. That would be really cool. Let's see what happens. Also, real quickly, Quincy Crew has finally found a sponsor. Finally. Sonics Esports. Sonics with a Q. I don't know anything about this org, I'm not going to lie.
They have teams
but
in,
just really happy.
What was it? I looked it up yesterday because I was curious. They have teams in Valorant, PUBG, Dota 2, Rocket League, and Rainbow Six Siege.
Well... okay, then. Valorant. That's a big game right there.
And their partners are Intel Arc, Intel, ViewSonic, Pivot, and ZipChair.
So they have ViewSonic as a sponsor for Sonics. What about the fast food chain Sonics?
Oh, that would be something. Did you notice something about the partners that they have?
Say them again.
Oh, now I need to open it again, Shannon. That's really... oh, you're the worst.
Yep.
Intel Arc, Intel, ViewSonic, Pivot, and ZipChair.
I don't know what Pivot is.
It's an agency.
But they're all computer-based stuff.
None of them are NFTs or betting companies.
Oh, so you're implying that that's why it's taken them so long to find a sponsor.
I don't know. I'm just saying in this time and age, most of the new orgs or teams we see get sponsored have betting or NFT affiliation, right? So
yeah,
I just found that to be interesting. I'm not saying if you're a team that's sponsored by that's foul or whatever, but this is just a breath of fresh air. It's different. Very interesting. And I wish them all the best, of course. This is a team you and I have liked for quite a while. So it's going to be cool to see them at the major. How they do.
Good job, Jack. Well
good
done.
Good job, Jack.
All right. And on to our SAP segment. Playing Dota 2 requires skills like multitasking, pattern recognition, strategizing, leadership, and social skills. SAP is looking for exactly those skill sets in various areas like development and technology, sales, and consulting. Put your stamp on SAP's market-leading portfolio used by 94% of the world's 500 largest companies and bring your skills to work with the latest technologies. Join a dynamic and diverse group of people and develop your career. Check out SAP's open positions at jobs.sap.com or simply click the link in the description. What's our score?
You're up 3-2, I think. I got two back-to-back after getting like 16 wrong in a row. So
yeah, that's unfortunate.
You start with yours for me this time because we're inverted.
That's right, an inverted penis. So, who has
thank you, Manscaped.
Who has the lowest win percentage this patch after buying a shard? So we've gone through all the iterations. Now, this one I did make a slight edit.
Okay.
Because one of them was so far down that I didn't want you to get a free point. So I disqualified the actual lowest win rate, which, let me double check who that is. I think it's Tinker with a 32% win rate after buying a shard.
That's really
very
bad.
Small sample size. Very small sample size of, I think, 62 games.
Okay.
So your choices in no particular order are Drow, Terrorblade, Ursa, Leshrac.
That's actually a really tricky one with Ursa buying shard. Ursa's shard is really good, but he gets it from Roche. So if he's buying it, he probably didn't get Roche, which will give him a low win chance in the game.
That's pretty smart.
Leshrac buys it when he's losing. Oh, what were the
high
other
ground
two?
Defense.
Terrorblade?
Drow and Terrorblade.
What does Drow's shard do? That's the...
Drow's is hypothermia.
Hypothermia,
so
yeah. Which one's the
good
worst?
Good against strengthy guys. And Terrorblade's is Demon Zeal.
That one's pretty good. And you buy that also when you're winning sometimes. Dude. I'm going to say Ursa.
Incorrect.
Shit.
So I'll go from highest win rate of that group.
Okay.
So Drow is 43.
Mm-hmm.
Terrorblade, 42. Ursa, slightly lower at 42. Leshrac was the correct answer.
He buys it when 41. He's losing, right? So, but
yeah.
They're pretty close.
I was still surprised, though, even so.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you're winning, sometimes you'll buy it anyway. I don't know.
Well, if you're winning on Lesh, you generally get it from Roche, right? Unless you have better shards than your team. Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one.
I mean, you can make that argument for almost every core.
Yeah,
right?
That's the thing, right? So, that's hard to say.
Right, good effort.
Okay, I tried.
Two in a row. Your streak is over.
That's a good streak, though, compared to my history. That was very impressive. All right. Mine for you today is, which hero has the highest average assists in ticketed games since 7.07? Is it A, Zeus, B, Spirit Breaker, C, Io, or D, Earth Spirit? So highest average assists. Zeus,
okay,
SP, Io, or Earth Spirit?
It can't be Spirit Breaker. There's a fucking way. You're trolling me with that one. You said Earth Spirit?
Yes. Earth Spirit, Io,
no
Zeus,
way that's...
and Spirit Breaker.
How did... Okay, you know what? I feel like you're trying to trick me. I'm just going to say Zeus.
That is incorrect. Do you want to guess one more time?
All right, the stupidest one is Spirit Breaker.
That is also incorrect. But Spirit Breaker is number two, actually. So he was very close to winning. Number one is Earth Spirit with 14.89. Spirit Breaker, 14.78. Zeus is sixth with 13.99. And Io is 13th with 13.
Where's Spectre?
I don't know.
Spectre,
I don't have it open
my
right
choice
now.
For
I would need
one.
To reload the whole thing. So I don't know if Spectre is even in top 10. I think the thing about Zeus is that he gets a lot of the kills, right? When he gets played core. So I think that's why his assist ratio isn't that high. Earth Spirit gets a lot of assists because he doesn't kill heroes. He just
deals damage. If you had Spectre as a choice, 100% would have chosen that.
Yeah. I don't think that was in top five. I'm not sure, though.
That's crazy.
But yeah, okay. Earth Spirit.
Very interesting.
Okay.
All right. So we're stuck on 3-2. Great.
Yes.
Last week's question was, which hero has the highest win rate when picked first? Correct answer was Ricky.
I have
a win rate
on
of
screen,
60.
Shannon, the production value. It's right
good
there.
Good job.
You can't see
Ricky
that.
Ricky hit 69.4% win rate in 36 games.
First picked 70% win rate.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back on when this was the case. There was this patch when people were first picking Ricky 4, right? Like that was the teams like, I think Ad Finem were running that on maybe next time.
Very briefly,
there was that one patch. There's like one patch where teams were first picking Ricky, and it was very good support. I think that must be where this is from. It got banned quite a bit. Boboka as well played it. Someone in chat just pointed out that's true. Those are probably the two standouts for me with Ricky support back then. Gotta be from that patch. That's pretty cool. I would have don't know. Would you have guessed that in your first 20 guesses? I don't think I would. So.
Nope. And cool. Nobody in the comments guessed it either. Yeah. I said Marcy, which has a 53.7%, and you said Aya with 54.2%. So technically, you were better guessed.
And you got 30th, and I got 26th, right? So
that's right.
We were not even remotely close.
Community, though, Mr. Tom Bird guessed Razor. Congratulations to you. You were the 15th best.
That's the 15th best first pick, and that was the best guess in the comments.
Wow. Yours was the least awful. Congratulations, yeah, Tom Bird.
That is the worst winner we've had. No offense.
No offense to Tom Bird. You know, to make up for that, though, we've picked his question for this coming week.
Oh, that's good.
Which is, which hero has the highest win rate in games over 60 minutes?
Oh, that's
so again,
good.
The hero matters, and if no one is correct, it will be checked which of the written heroes has the highest win rate among them. So in the comments, make sure you type in hashtag SAP Esports with the hero name. So which hero has the highest win rate in games over 60 minutes? I'm going to say Arc Warden.
Yeah, that's got to be good.
Or, ooh, Nature's Prophet, though. Ooh.
I think I'll say I'll say Enigma.
Ooh, that's good too. All right, I'm gonna say Nature's Prophet. Prophet. If it's Arc Warden, I swear to fucking God.
I hope we get top 25 this time.
Yeah, true. All right, thanks to SAP for that segment. Let's
and thanks to Tom Bird. Good question, Tom. That's a really good one. I'm excited about this one.
We have a quote unquote leak.
We fucking go again. You and your leaks. This one's actually a leak, though. Maybe.
These are strings. Some strings were leaked from the RU Battle Pass for TI. And it kind of gives a little bit of information. I don't even know if this is worth talking about, really. It is, actually. So the dates that were shown are likely placeholders, but it's going to be segmented into two sections. One is September 1st to October 1st. Is that right? September 1st to the 30th, and the second part is October 1st to the 30th, but it doesn't really mean anything, the dates, because they're just placeholder likely, but we can have, you know, quick discussion again of what we think now that we know the DPC season format has changed, and now that we're closer to the Battle Pass coming out. Number one, when do you think the Battle Pass is coming out? Do you think it's right after the Major, or will it be closer to September? And do you think, like, what are they going to do with the money from it this time?
Right.
Because obviously it's only, what, TI ends October 30th or something, like really late, right? So it's going to be like 2 months worth, essentially, for a battle pass to give money to that. So what happens past TI?
Yeah, you can't do retroactive prize pool, right? Or, well, you could, but then you can't pay the teams until end of the year, which I mean, if the teams sign up for that, that's not a problem, I suppose, but it is a little bit weird. Like, you have the grand finals, we don't know what you guys are playing for, by the way. We'll find out in 2 months what the prize actually was. So yeah, I don't think they're gonna do that. I was expecting this battle pass to drop either late August or right in the beginning of September, so I think the string from there that says September 1st, I find kind of believable. That's around the time that I think would make sense, right? It's about a month before the play-in of TI and a month and a half before the finals, or almost 2 months, right? About 2 months. TI ends late October. So, yeah, I think somewhere between... When is it the ESL tournament is running from? That's the 21st to the 28th or something, I think. Or 22nd to 28th. So that week, probably right after that. Not that they're scheduling around them, but... Let's say my guess is Monday, 29th of August.
Okay.
That's my guess.
For Battle Pass. I think it'll be within a week of the Major ending.
Which is
The 15th. So yeah. I think at the Major, they will announce when the Battle Pass is, and I think you'll only have to wait like a week.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it.
Okay, you know, so
getting it earlier is
better. What happens to the money? What happens to the money?
All right, so that was the bigger question. Hopeful answer first. Everything before the finals goes into TI prize pool. Everything beyond the finals goes into next year's DPC season. That is the dream. What I think will happen everything before the finals goes into TI. I think that's a given. And then I don't part of me kind of wants to think that is what's going to happen as well, but there's also two other options. One is it goes to Valve, and the other one is it goes to next year's TI. And when the next battle pass comes out, the prize pool just doesn't start at 1.6, but it starts at whatever was carried over from this one, right?
Boy, that really fucks over this TI, though, doesn't it?
Yes, that is the problem, right? I mean, I don't know. They have the data on how much of the prize pool is generated in the first 2 months. I still think the absolute lion's share will be done, especially because, you know, they're in control of when the cool shit drops, right? So if they make sure everything you really want to get and have and is obtainable and drops at a meaningful time before the finals, I would assume maybe something like 90% of the money is spent before TI ends, would be my guess. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Maybe 80%. But like, if you think of how the graph looks every year, right? It's a logarithmic curve. And then every time something new, cool comes out, it draws a logarithm on top of the logarithm, right? So it just keeps making, am I drawing like, okay, now I'm drawing the right way. So like, it goes like this, and then it goes like this, and then again, right?
Are you drawing on screen?
Yes, you can't see it, but you know what a logarithm looks like. You're a smart guy. So
very much so.
So realistically speaking, as long as the coolest shit, the last cool shit drops, let's say 2 weeks before the finals, I think the absolute vast majority of money will be spent when the finals runs around. And then let's say it's $1 or $2 or $3 million or $4 million dollars that are left over afterwards. If they fund the next DPC season, awesome. Then the majors, instead of being worth half a mil, would be worth a mil or 1.5. That would be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
We want back, like, there's a lot of people in the, you know, a big chunk of the audience has been saying, we want the good old majors back. You know, we used to have majors that were worth 3 mil and they had a different level of hype. There's just no denying it. The good old Frankfurt major, for example, was something special. So that would be really cool if we could have it like that.
Because I can't think of any scenario other than those three as well.
Yeah.
Right. And I think just based off of process of elimination, I actually think the scenario that we have been wanting is going to happen.
I think so too.
And usually I don't say that because I have zero faith that any of my ideas would be good. But let's think of the other two scenarios, right? So contributing to the same prize pool of a tournament that has already been finished just doesn't make sense. There's no way that happens. I can't envision
really
it.
Weird.
Yeah. The second scenario is that Valve keeps the money. They must know they're going to get completely shit on if that happens. There's no way. Like, yes, they've been blind to a lot of stuff in the past, but this is like so fucking obvious. There's no way that could happen. So is there another scenario other than the money goes to... I did think of one scenario.
Mm-hmm.
One scenario is that these are multiple battle passes. TI battle pass runs until TI. Then there's a short gap.
Okay.
Then they can have their own battle pass that they keep the money. They probably won't get shit on for that as much.
Right.
Now that I think about it, that's probably what's going to happen.
I just thought of one more thing that could happen. What if all of the prize that carried over, so after TI Finals was over, is going to be spent hiring a community manager, and that will be their salary for the year?
Oh yeah.
What do you
think? Now you're talking about some good shit. Man, Slacks is gonna be rich, huh? Gracious me.
I would take the job for 3 mil.
Yep, me too. I'll do it for 2.9.
Okay. 2.7. Sold.
All right. Next thing on the outline is you ranting.
Oh,
I saw
yeah.
a thread.
You love that.
You ranted
shit
on stream.
You love when I rant.
Yeah, you shat all over pubs, Sindarin. I've never seen you so angry before.
Okay,
can
I wasn't
speak
actually,
your mind, please.
Okay, you haven't watched my stream because I've been angrier than that. I was just disappointed and frustrated. That's something else. That isn't angry. He's
powerful.
Disappointed, Shannon. Okay, that's
very powerful.
Okay, so short TLDR. Recently, over the last weeks, I feel like has probably been my worst experience with public Dota matchmaking of all time. Just not strictly from how to say, like, Because it's easy to go into a hole where it's like, oh, I'm losing a lot, I'm having a bad time. It hasn't really been about win rate, because I think at the end of the day, my MMR has barely moved in the last month. Like, it's alternated a little bit up and down, but it's been within the same, like, 100 or 200. So it's not about me just losing a lot and tilting and being upset. It's about how big a portion of the games are decided either by someone ruining the game, breaking items, going AFK, giving up, or feeding down mid, or something like that, right? And how willing people are to just call a game over when, in reality, if you look at the game state and the chances, you maybe have a third of the chance, you maybe win a third of those games and people just give up. But it's on both sides. So it's like, it just feels unrewarding. And a lot of the games are just like, you're 10 minutes in and one team gives up and you're like, if they actually tried and played their best, they could win this game. Maybe 25% of the time. That's worth playing for. Am I wrong? Like, why would you give up games that you win a quarter of the time? That sounds like definitely worth playing for. It might turn into an exciting game. Sure, you might lose the most of the times, but it isn't a waste of time playing Dota if you lose. It's a waste of time playing Dota if you lose and you didn't even play, right? Then, like, what the fuck are you doing? And that's what I'm upset with, is how many of the games have followed that trend where I queue for a game, I want to play the game out and try to win. If we collectively as a team want to give up, that's a different story. But I don't want one bully in the game to just decide for everyone else by just signing it, just checking out of the game with no punishment. You know, they just break their items and seemingly they can be back the next day playing more games, or the same day. They just play right after. There's like, whatever, you know, that's what I don't want. Funnily enough, today I actually had a really good experience and it really stood out. Which kind of highlights the thing for me. I was playing, I think I played 5 games on stream today, and I think 2 of them were really big comeback wins, where even though we were losing, we still tried and still played to win, and we actually pulled it off twice. And that felt really rewarding and really refreshing, because I was like, most of the time, I feel like somebody in my team will just give up there, like in that game state. One of them, we had 5% chance to win according to the graph. The other one, I don't know, like 20. But we kept playing and we found a way and we, you know, played for the little chance, and that is what's fucking awesome. I want people to play like that. I want to not give up. Unless, you know, if you all want to give up, that's fair. But don't let one guy decide.
Do you think the main issue, I think it's a combination of things. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's very easy to know if somebody game ruins, like from an analytical standpoint, like Valve definitely knows. Mm-hmm. So the question is what should they do about it? Because if you're at really high MMR, mm-hmm. You basically have a free pass, right? Because of things that have happened in the past with like Envy or whoever it was, just getting reported constantly just because they were recognized, like they didn't mm-hmm. do anything wrong. So a lot of people got a free pass. Probably, I don't know if it's literal people that are just pros or mm-hmm. in like what the threshold is. Is it an MMR thing? I don't know. But if you banned people for 6 months on first offense, do you think this would be an issue anymore?
No, but I also don't think it should
if
be
people
that
knew. Huh, just saying.
All right, just as a thought example.
Okay,
sure.
This is just a random example. If it's an extreme mm-hmm. punishment on first offense, doesn't this just fix the problem?
It changes the problem because some people will have, I guess it, over a short period of time, it will probably fix the problem. But some of the people that you want to ban out maybe have like 5 accounts, right? So then they get banned on one account, they will play on the other. But yeah, they That's will fine. Run out of lives, so to speak. And then the question is, and I think part of the dilemma for Valve here as well is, if this is a rampant problem, if you ban these players, are you actually just fueling more account buying, right? Is there going to be more people boosting accounts so that they can be sold to repeat offenders?
Yeah, but again, that is very... they know mm-hmm. the boosted accounts. They have like they've been banning them, maybe not as fast as we would like, but they have that information as well. So
I guess a secondary concern is also like, okay, let's just make this an extreme case, which isn't the reality, but let's say half the players in top 1,000 are toxic as fuck, right? Like they break items or they rage at their teammates or they tilt at the fuck out of the game or they give up minute 5 when they lose their lane. Like, if half players do that, but it alternates what team they're on all the time, and at the end of the day, it's about a big sample size, then it's not inherently unfair for anyone else than themselves. They're ruining the games more for themselves on average than for everyone else, because they're the constant factor on every game that they're in, right? The problem is, if it's so prevalent and you ban all of them, what is the queue time going to be like, right? Like, then people are going to complain about queue time, or if you lower the threshold for what games get matched, then people are going to complain about quality. Like, okay, now I don't get toxic teammates, but I'm playing with players who are half as good as me every game. Like, that's also frustrating. So I don't know if that's the case, but if it is, I feel like that only applies to High Immortal, and this makes no difference all the way down the ladder from there. Like, there's just a big enough player pool everywhere from Herald to Ancient to Divine that it shouldn't be an issue there. But reports, you know, it's always going to be anecdotal. We don't have the data, but the vibe I'm getting from people I'm talking to, whether it's pros, whether it's people on my stream that come in and share their experience, people that write to me, people that respond on the Reddit thread, people on average are saying they are having some of the worst experiences they've had, right? So that makes me feel like I'm not the only one, or it's just because of Immortal.
But this is very recent
problem
for me.
Down,
for me, right? It's been like that for over a year, or close to a year now. But so, yours is more recent.
Oh,
right?
So just to elaborate a little bit, it's been bad for a long time, but it's been exceptionally bad in the last month. Mm. That's my point. So, like, I think matchmaking has been in a poor state for a long time as well. So it's not like, okay, recently for me, I'm like, oh, I finally see what people are talking about in other ranges. No, I've had the same experience. I've also felt like there's a lot of shit games, or people, you know, who seemingly shouldn't be playing in the game either because they bought their account or because they're griefing or whatever. But it's just like, it's a feeling of magnitude recently that has just ramped up for me. And maybe it's just bad luck. Maybe it's the mindset you go into the day with and you're expecting it to be bad, and therefore it stands out more when it actually is bad. I would like to think that I don't do that. I can't promise you that it's nothing to do with my, you know, attitude I go in with, but I feel like I try to keep a pretty open mind, you know, about the games and try to win. And it's just my experience. In the last month, the last 2 months, the worst it has been. So, and when I see so many people echo it, it's still anecdotal, but it feels like there might just be something about it, right? That it's extra bad. And I don't know why. That's the thing. I don't know if it's just, you know, if they've changed some parameters about ban thresholds, or if they've changed, or this just like absolute rampant account buying and selling and whatever, or if the if Overwatch is playing less of a role now, people stop doing it, so less people get banned because people aren't like really inclined to run that system anymore, if it's like faded in popularity. I would love to see it give a
reward. Why do they not give shards?
Yeah. Why doesn't it give a reward to run Overwatch? I don't understand. I feel like they should give shards for that. Maybe the concern is, oh, then people are just going to go in, press any verdict, and then leave, right? So they don't actually vote authentically. But the way a system like that works is that it will look for a confidence interval, right? So if half the people vote no and half vote yes, it's inconsequential, then you don't do anything. But if, let's say, 80% say yes and 20 say no, there's a high chance that the 20% are wrong and they just went in there to get their free shards, right?
So, well, it could just be, it's not, you don't get shards just for doing it. You get shards for doing it correctly.
Yeah, if you get the correct answer, yes, absolutely. I like that. I think that would make sense. I also saw a point brought up that part of what might have made Dota worse matchmaking-wise has been COVID, right? Which I obviously understand that, and I empathize with people that are going through hard times and taking it into the game, but I just kind of refuse to believe that that's the only reason. I don't think that amplifies it by this much of an amount as I've experienced, that people have overall worse everyday lives right now than they did 2 years ago. And I also don't think that would explain why it's different from 1 year ago, right? Because there was even more COVID 1 year ago. So it's like, you know, I don't know.
What about the factor of humans being just pieces of shit in general?
Yeah, has that changed in a year? Are people just
bigger pieces of shit have come out more, if you think about it, in the last couple of years, at least North America-wise.
Okay, not to get political, but...
Hey, that's not political. If you're a piece of shit, you're a piece of shit.
Oh, okay,
right?
Got it, yeah.
That's the piece of shit ranking system. It's not political at all, Cinder, and how dare you?
We should have real-life Overwatch. Yes? What do you think? As like a maybe surveillance, do you think that... Okay, move on.
You know, I don't want to get into that, but I am one of the few people that does not give a shit about my privacy for the most part. Like, there's going to be a limit, of course, but the thing that people are like really care about...
Dude, you have
about,
nothing to hide. Like, you fucking belch on broadcast.
Like, exactly. Like, I have
no
shame. Exactly. So, like, obviously, I don't want people watching me get butt naked. Like, yeah, that's probably my threshold, but It's not much far up from that. So maybe one day. Like when I watch Black Mirror and they have like cameras in their eyes and you can just like, it's basically like phones, right?
Yeah.
Just implanted. That's fucking amazing. That's like the coolest thing ever. Like,
that's so cool. I want that.
It actually is the coolest thing ever. So. Okay.
Oh, Shane, I'm sweating my room so hot. Oh.
Sorry about that. Don't worry. We got one more topic to go through here, which is the Arlington Major, of course. So let's quickly talk about all the stand-ins, and then we can do some predictions. So, Nikki, just show me some new news. Is that the Fnatic? So they have three TSM members now, officially. So it wasn't official, but Fnatic has three subs, and they're all TSM players.
Yep.
If I refresh Liquipedia, does it...
It does show. Tamato, Bryle, and Dubu.
So Tamato, Bryle, and Dubu will be subbing in for Fnatic, so it's just like a big pug now.
Yeah.
Do you use that term in Dota? Pug? P-U-G?
I think it would call it a mix. Probably.
Mix.
Yeah, that's also what you used to call it in CS, right? When you had a mix
pug
team.
Pug was CS.
Didn't you also call it a mix?
Well, back in my day, we called it a pug. But
to me, a pug is in RPGs. It's a pug in WoW if you have people from outside your guild play with your guild. That's called a pug.
All right. Anyway,
it's the same.
So three members of TSM on Fnatic, and then Saberlight, which is the fourth member of TSM, as we talked about last week, will be standing in for Pure, which means Moon Meander is the only one from TSM not playing in the NA Major. Feels bad for him.
Yeah, unfortunately, he couldn't get a visa, but all his teammates got to go, so that's nice.
Yep, Zephyr will be standing in for Q for
Talon.
Alone will be standing in for Dark Mago. I never know how to say his name.
Dark Mago.
Excel for Valkyrie. And of course, you already talked about Anna coming in for Ghost.
Which is very special, actually. It's a stand-in coach.
Huh.
So they still have their full playing roster. Yep.
So does that mean he's not allowed to coach from remote?
I think they just want to coach on site. It has value to have a coach with the team, for sure.
We talked about the episode name last week was... what was it? Was it Anna related?
It was something Anna joins Liquid, right? Because he was playing with them in
Right. So this is it. Okay, so this time he'll be standing in.
So the title of this episode is Anna joins RNG. I like that.
And as we discussed earlier, Seb will be unfortunately subbing in for Misha, who misses his second major in a row because of visa issues.
Yep.
So a lot of people have been talking about how the visa situation not great, which is definitely true. After we talked though last week about the Stockholm Major, we completely forgot that Chinese teams just didn't come. So it's still an improvement,
sure.
I would say.
But there were less stand-ins. Messy. They just didn't show up.
Yes. But. Well, if you consider the stand-in, put that against the teams that didn't show up, it's still better now.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, this is going to kind of throw a wrench in a lot of these teams' plans. Like, would you inherently give the advantage to teams that just have their full roster? Or do you think there's opportunities for, I mean, we saw last major with Seb, right?
Yeah.
Where you have a stand-in and it just somehow works out better for you.
Maybe. It's hard to say, right? Maybe if Misha is there and Seb is coaching, they also win the tournament. I don't really want to, you know, just say that Seb won that tournament for them over Misha. I think he can do a lot from outside of the game as well. Maybe they won because he played. That's pure speculation. But I'd say overall, having stand-ins will be a negative. And I think the team that will be hit the absolute hardest is Fnatic. Because I think if you're missing three players from your team and you have this short of a time to prepare, you're just not going to have the same dynamic. Now, that said, I don't think they're going to get absolutely stomped. I think they still, you know, they're very good players. So they have a good chance of still getting out of groups, but I don't think a top 8 is happening for this team this event, unfortunately, for them. I don't remember if Fnatic need the points. I think they actually do, right? That's the worst part. I don't think they're mathematically qualified to TI yet. They do need some sort of a placement, if I'm not mistaken. So that really sucks for them.
I mean, at the very least, Tomato's playing his normal position. Bryle's playing his normal position. Dubu's playing 5 instead of 4.
No, Dubu also plays 5 usually.
Oh, that's right. Moon is four. So they're all playing the same position.
Playing their roles. Yep.
Could have been worse.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think, honestly, the team that might be hit the hardest is Entity. Or, well, not true. I said Fnatic, and I stand by that. But the second hardest are the teams with one stand-in. I think Entity having Saberlight as carry instead of Pure, when Saberlight is usually an offlane player, I think is going to be a really different playstyle for him and a transition that I don't think is going to reflect well on them in this event. Do you want to predict some placements here? Let's do our usual thing of predicting top three or top four. Not necessarily in order, unless you want to.
Up to you how you want to do it, because we could talk about what teams we think are going to get eliminated from groups, because we should mention this, and I'll mention at the end as well. We're not going to have an episode until after I get back from the major, so the major is going to be over.
Yeah, so the next episode will probably be in about 2 weeks, right? Yeah, about 2 weeks.
So we should, at the very least, talk about who we think are going to be top four of the entire tournament.
Okay.
And maybe a wild card for, you know...
Okay,
a dark horse.
Let's do one dark horse, a top four, and bottom team of each group. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
what would you consider the opposite of a dark horse?
A white horse.
A white mule.
Yes.
Or a white donkey.
Could you imagine
better.
If Gandalf rode in on that? Just came
Dude,
in.
A white donkey
a white
is the
donkey.
Team.
I told you.
A white donkey is a team that we think that will surprise people that will be eliminated early. So EG would have been the white donkey last tournament.
I can't take this. Okay, let's do bottom of each group first. Group A. So Group A has Fnatic, OG, Outsiders, LGD, RNG, Sonics, Talon, Liquid, and Thunder Awakened. So nine teams. Pick your lower placement.
Fnatic.
Yeah.
Sorry, TSM.
Okay,
I'm gonna have a. Okay,
I pick Fnatic too.
I have a white donkey. Okay. I have a white donkey already. Okay. And again, this is more of one of those.
Can I guess who it is?
That's probably gonna be wrong. Yes.
I think your white donkey is Liquid.
That's correct. Yeah. It is Liquid.
I
don't know what it is.
Yeah.
On land. Just they break apart. Now they could fix everything. They're a really talented team. They do really well the DPC. On LAN, not so much.
Yeah, they need to show up on
so
the
they're
big
my white
stage.
Donkey.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna have to pick Fnatic, but yeah, I honestly totally agree. I think it's those two are the ones that would surprise me the least if not do very well at this LAN. But ironically, do you also want to pick Fnatic as a dark horse? I kind of want to. I feel like what
they're
if...
They're both the horse and the donkey, yeah.
No, because Liquid was the donkey, right?
Wait, who'd you say?
Fnatic. I feel like there is a chance, you know, with those three stand-ins that they just... No. Okay.
It's like a roll of the die. I mean...
Okay, let's do...
It's likely it's not going to work out.
Let's do Group B. So Group B has Beast Coast, Boom Esports, Entity,
well,
EG...
Well, we didn't pick...
Sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, yes. We do the two bottoms, and then we do top four of the tournament, right? Not of the group.
Yeah. Okay.
So Group B has Beast Coast, Boom, Entity, EG, Navi, Aster, Spirit, and Tundra. My bottom placement in this group is Entity. They're missing their carry. They have a stand-in offlaner. I don't think it's going to work at this level. And they're against some giants in this group.
Who else had stand-ins in this? On these teams?
Nobody in Group B, I think.
I feel like Group B is like no stand-ins, right? Isn't that weird?
Is there one stand-in, maybe? I think most of them have full roster.
Wow.
Pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah, this is there's some strong ass teams in this group. I would agree on Entity. They're the safest bet. And I hate to say it, but I'd put Beast Coast as probably the second team.
White Donkey? I think it's fair to call them White Donkey, right? They're top six of the major. So if you think they're going to bomb out of groups, that's kind of White Donkey.
That's
right?
True. That's true. Yeah. Okay. They're the White Donkey this time.
I don't know about Tundra. I feel like
It's white donkey for tundra? That's a spicy one.
I don't know, because I just think some of the matchups they have in this group are not good for them. East Coast is probably a safer bet, but I will say it wouldn't surprise me if Tundra don't show up big time on this one. I don't think they need to for TI, though. So that's the saving grace. I think they have enough points to be there, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, it's also Aster. Aster has had a terrible track record on LAN. So, dude, this one's really hard for me, actually. I don't know. I'll pick something else than you so we don't pick the same. So I'm going to say...
Oh, it's so hard to choose.
I'll say Aster, okay? Aster is my white donkey group B.
All right, top four?
Top four of the tournament.
Yeah, so how does this work with groups?
Order or no?
Yeah, order.
Order, okay. Let's see. Number one, PSG LGD.
Nerd.
Number two... Evil Geniuses.
Hey.
Number three. Outsiders. And number four. RNG with Ana standing. Or Spirit. Wow. No, RNG. RNG. I'll say RNG.
All right. Number four for me is OG.
Okay.
Number three is Na'Vi.
Yep.
Number two is PSG LGD. Number one is EG.
You think EG will win? All right. Laughing when I put EG second because you were like, they just lost the major. You know? No, you have them high too.
No.
I think they're going to surprise, really. I mean, I don't know if it's a surprise. I think they're going to look strong.
I don't know how it's a surprise. They look fucking stronger than ever. They're not picking Storm Spirit first anymore either. So this is their tournament.
I think they're going to be really
in NA.
Good too.
They have home court advantage, if you want to call it that. I just can't see them getting second place again, and I think they're the strongest team here.
To me, it's a disappointment for EG at this major to not get top four. And I'm saying that even though they got very last at the last one, so you could be
it's a different team. I don't even count that.
Right.
As an aberration.
Like, historically speaking, being outside of top four for this EG team has been a poor result, right? Like, usually they've been at the podium or at least top four. And I think we're back to that stage for me with the team. That state, like, what they showed this time around the DPC was clearly better than last time. So they've definitely ironed out some issues and fixed a lot of their problems. But I just don't think this team beats LGD. I just don't see it. So I think if EG win the major, it's because somebody else knocks LGD out for them. I don't think it's going to be themselves. So
interesting.
They will need either OG to knock LGD out, which I think is one of the teams that has the highest chance of doing it, or someone like Outsiders, I think, could also do it. But I do like that you picked Na'Vi for top four. I also had a look at them as a possible top four. This is really exciting. There's just so many teams that could make it, and it wouldn't surprise me if a team like Spirit gets top three, right? It's always there as a possibility. Yep. Did we pick a dark horse? We didn't, right? We picked the white donkeys.
No.
Okay, my dark horse for the tournament, not to win the whole thing, but to get far, is Talon, I think.
Okay.
But they have Talon. A stand-in, right? Shit, they have a stand.
Yeah, but it's Zephyr, and he's played with 23 Savage.
Yeah,
so
Zephyr's pretty good, and he might gel with it. Yeah, you know, I'll stick with it. Let's say Talon Dark Horse.
All right, Dark Horse for me. Is Thunder Awaken a Dark Horse?
Yeah, I think so. Even though they got top six at the last major, I still think in this company, them getting really far would be a surprise.
I'll pick Thunder Awaken for top six.
Okay.
Dark Horse.
I love Pakaz. I hope he's going to shine again. That guy's cool to watch.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. We agreed on a lot this time, actually. Impressive.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
That means
you're
all
learning.
Those teams, we apologize in advance. Well, we're wrong every time, horribly.
Yeah.
So.
Don't take our words and put money on it, guys. This is not betting advice. Let's put in a disclaimer that we...
Perhaps betting the opposite would...
That is also betting
more money for you. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you do the outro since you're doing the recording. But again, just to wrap up, we won't be doing another episode until after the major. So it'll be a couple week break.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. This was episode 159. Episode 160 will be mid-August. Bye.
Bye.
We say things that don't mean anything.
Subscribe.
But
subscribe.
Thanks for listening.